Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And if you are joining with us as a congregation, we've been working through the Gospel of Luke over the past few months, and we've come up to Luke 22, verse 35. So we'll be reading verse 35 through verse 38. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I was thinking back to when I was younger, and I do not recall ever hearing a sermon on these respective words. So we're going to be looking at these words together. Luke 22, verse 35 through verse 38. So Luke 22, that's found on page 1022. Luke 22 at verse 35. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'As he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me.' Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," he replied. This, as far as reading in God's word, may he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read that there is a time for everything, a time for every matter under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3 says that there's a time for war and a time for peace, a time to keep, a time to gather, and a time to cast out and scatter. Well, that's the very thing we find in our passage today. One of the important aspects of studying Scripture is to compare Scripture with Scripture and to read Scripture in its proper context. For example, if someone were to ask you, "Does the Bible say within it, sell everything and give to the poor? Or does the Bible say you need to provide for your families? Does the Bible tell us to, quote, not resist someone who is evil? Or does the Bible say, take your stand and defend the fatherless and the widows?" And the answer is yes. That's why it's important for us as Christians to remember that the context helps us understand the meaning of the text. And children, you understand this in your own day-to-day living. If your parents were to say to you, "Children, get ready," the context helps you understand how to apply that. If it is 8:30 on Sunday morning and your parents say to you, "Children, it's time to get ready," they probably mean it's time to get ready for church. Time to brush your teeth, comb your hair, get your Sunday clothes on. But if it's 8:30 at night and your parents say to you, "Children, it's time to get ready," you understand that it's time to get ready for bed, to brush your teeth and put your pajamas on. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? The context. Well, today we are going to find that Jesus is going to prepare his disciples for the next stage in redemptive history. In some ways, the disciples are coming to graduation day. Over the past 3 years, approximately, they've been spending time in the safety of the school. They've had intense instruction. But now it's graduation day. It's time to depart the school setting, and it's time to go out into the world. Or perhaps it's similar to leaving a basic training. Up to this point, they've been prepared, they've been taught various scenarios, they've been given the weapons that they need, but now basic training is over, it's time to engage in the battle. So this morning we're going to be looking at this theme, that Jesus tells his disciples to be prepared for the coming expansion in a hostile world. In our first point then, we see that Jesus refers to a time when there was no need for sandals or a money bag. This is found in verse 35, where Jesus says, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandal, did you lack anything?" And the disciples say, "No, we didn't lack anything. We had everything that we need." Here Jesus is referring to what takes place both in Luke 9 and in Luke chapter 10, where the disciples were sent out two by two. They were sent into the land of Israel. They were told to go and preach the gospel. And along with this command to go and preach, to reach out to the Israelite people and to remain within the confines or within the area of Israel there that the Israelites occupied, they were also given the added benefit and ability, the special power to cast out demons and to cure various diseases, as we read earlier in Luke chapter 9. You will note that this is a specific command to specific people in a specific time frame, and it was a temporary time frame. It was for a few months during the 2.5 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. The commandment that Jesus gave to these disciples as he sent them out two by two is not a broad commandment that would apply to everyone at all times and in every places. Rather, they were to be given a specific time to do a specific task. During that period, the Israelites would be traveling to the various Israelites' towns. These apostles would be going to the various Israelite towns. And when they would enter an Israelite town, they would find a respected member of the community. They would enter into that person's house, as we read in Luke chapter 9, and they would be dependent on the generosity of that respected citizen. They would be at the mercy, if you will, of the residents of that city, that the citizens of that town, for their provision and for their protection. Jesus was seeing to it that these men were provided for, just as he had done, just as the Lord had done for the Israelites during the 40 years of wandering in the desert. You remember when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, they were given an extraordinary provision and protection. Deuteronomy 29 puts it this way: your clothing and your sandals did not wear out, and I gave you manna every day. So they had provision and protection. But when the Israelites came to the land of Canaan, when they graduated from the years of wandering and they took possession of the promised land, the manna stopped and the Israelites had to take out their swords. It was time to till the field and to take their swords to battle. In a similar way, we find that these disciples had enjoyed extraordinary protection and provision from the hands of the citizens during the years of Jesus' earthly ministry. But that specific time period was now coming to an end. We find this in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, where the disciples return, they come back to Jesus, they're filled with great joy. They said, even the demons were subject to us in your name. So Jesus is giving these commandments in chapter 9 and 10 for these disciples, these apostles, to go out. That time period was now coming to an end, and they were going to be transitioning after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, particularly after Pentecost. The direction of the church was going to be changing. Even Jesus Christ himself was provided for by wealthy women. This is Luke 8, verse 3, where we have a list of women that would provide for Jesus and for his disciples during his earthly ministry. But when you come to the book of Acts, you find something different. You find a different direction, and you find a different working among God's people. The New Testament church would be called to be shrewd and to be wise. So Jesus begins in verse 35 by referring to something that was past, something that was coming to an end. As we come to verse 36, Jesus says, but now. These two words mark a very significant change, transition, a break from the past and entering into something new. You once did this. You once did not need to take money bags. You once did not need extra sandals. You had protection and provision in an extraordinary way, but now, there's a transition. It's no longer going to be like that. Now it's going to be like this. Now, to be very clear, I see the reference in verse 36 to the money bag and the sword to be a reference to an actual physical, literal money bag and sword. There are many Reformed commentaries that will see these things as imagery referencing perhaps the sword of the Spirit. But when Jesus is talking in verse 35 about a literal money bag and literal sword, that idea of speaking of literal objects carries over into the verse 36. Jesus is preparing his disciples and telling them what they should expect as they engage in the next stage of redemptive history. And the principle is going to be that you're going to be dealing with this world, and the world is going to be hostile. The world is going to be opposed to you. So thus far, during these 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, and that carries over to the first couple chapters in the book of Acts as well, there's relatively calm, peace, quiet within the land of Israel, and particularly in Jerusalem. But when you come to Acts chapter 8, there is a huge shift that takes place. There's a monumental shift. There is a dramatic increase in persecution, and there's also a dramatic spreading out of the disciples. The disciples are called to be prudent, to be shrewd, Jesus is here teaching, as they prepare to soon make their travels to the farthest end of the world. The church is going to go out, what started in the land of Judea, it's going to go out to Jerusalem, Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. This growing, this going out is going to be accompanied by an increased hostility towards them. They're going to be traveling away from the safety of their own clans and the protection of those who were their own people. So there are two areas of concern that Jesus is going to bring to light here in verse 36. The first area deals with provision, and the second area deals with protection. We saw this with our illustration earlier. Knowing the context, knowing what's coming next, helps you understand how to get ready. So I ask you, children, where are the disciples going? Where is the change that is taking place? If they are graduating, if they are leaving the training area and arena, and they're going out to enter into the real world, how are they to be prepared? Knowing that the world is not a friend of grace. There's going to be hostility and opposition. So Jesus is changing the disciples' direction. He's altering their focus so that they're no longer just looking at their people, no longer just at the Israelites, but to go out and to go forth. So the first area that Jesus speaks to them in verse 36 is the area of provision. But now, Jesus says, if you have a purse, take it. If you have a bag, take that along as well. The money bag would be like our present day purse or wallet, something that we'd take with us whenever we were traveling. But it would also include what would be our checking, our savings account. It was what we have for our daily provision of the purchasing of the normal things that we need in the daily counsel of our daily living. Now we have to keep the full counsel of God in mind. These words are not spoken in abstract. We take the full picture. What does Scripture have to say to us about our daily provision? Jesus makes it very clear we need to be generous with our money. Absolutely. Don't store up earthly treasures. That's Matthew 6, verse 19. Don't set your heart on things of this world. Don't trust in your money. Don't rely on your money. Don't depend on your own wisdom to provide for your daily needs. Set not your heart on the things that moth, rust, or thief can take away. Neither be anxious. This is Matthew 6, verse 25. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Remember that your Father in heaven provides for you and will give to you everything that you need. So those truths are in our back pocket. We don't forget those. But Jesus is here saying that God's people should not be ignorant or careless when it comes to financial decisions. Jesus calls for wisdom in this realm as well. The church, we could apply this today, the church should consider her financial obligations. And Christians are called to be faithful stewards of the earthly blessings that God places in our hands. Even 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, if you don't provide for your own family members, you're worse than an unbeliever. So it is not a sign of weak faith to be wise, to be good stewards of your finances. Jesus says in the parable of the unwise fool, the point of that parable is not we should avoid planting and avoid building barns. It is don't put so much emphasis in this world, in this life, that you neglect God and you have no riches in the life that is to come. So these parallel truths must be upheld. God wants us to be as innocent as doves and as shrewd as snakes. To be wise with our earthly provisions, to think and to plan for our future. So these disciples, as they were going to be leaving their homes, and some of these men were going to be traveling for months and even a year at a time away from their family unit, Jesus says to them, take your money bag along with you. Get that ready because you're going to need to go forth, even as we have with the Apostle Paul, who continues his tent-making work to provide for himself. Proverbs 21, the plans of the diligent lead to plenty. So we, like the disciples, should plan for our earthly futures while never forsaking our eternal home. Take your wallet with you as you follow the Lord, Jesus says. This teaching is very, very practical. It has an earthy sense to it. It reads kind of like the book of Proverbs. It's a wise teaching about discretion and discernment with earthly provision as we wait for the Lord to come. So the first area deals with provision. The second area deals with protection, verse 36. Now this one is a little bit more tricky. Here Jesus says, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Is Jesus telling his disciples to go out and buy a sword? Is that really what he's getting at here? Well, the sword, to keep in mind, the sword here is not like the Roman army, you know, real long sword that you would take into battle. It's a short dagger that would be used for two main things, self-defense and eating. Self-defense, if someone were to attack you, a robber or a wild animal, you'd have this short dagger, but also be the same dagger that you use to skin animals and to slice meat. So Jesus says to his disciples, get a sword. Now we have to keep this in the context of the New Testament as a whole. What does the Bible say about use of the sword? Well, we are never to use the sword in anger, retaliation, or revenge. Jesus is not telling the disciples to go out and take the law into their own hands. As Christians, we are called to pray for our enemies, to love them, to pray for those who persecute us. If someone slaps you on the face, Matthew 5:42, if someone insults you, you don't respond in kind. You don't retaliate. In fact, if you are looking, if you're going out in violence, Matthew 26:52 says, if you take the sword, you will die by the sword. So these things are the truth, the broad picture that we keep in our mind as we look at this verse. But Jesus is here saying that as the disciples go forth, they must be wise concerning their own protection. In other words, the disciples and Christians today, it is not demanded of us to be pacifists. It's not to say that there is no situation or necessity when we should not defend ourselves. Romans 13 gives the power of the sword to the government to protect its citizens, to restrain evil. But in our text, Jesus is telling the disciples to take the sword as an instrument of defense for your own well-being. For example, could we say that it was a Christian act? Is it wise for a Christian? Is it a godly pursuit for a Christian to become a police officer or to join the army? Absolutely. So here in our context, swords are used for defending against thieves, attackers, robbers, and wild animals. And when the disciples produce two swords in verse 38, it's a difficult translation. Our text here says it is enough, or it's sufficient. They have two swords for these 11 disciples, and Jesus says that is enough. Now, that's important to remember the context. The disciples from this point are going to be going, particularly after Pentecost, out into a world that is violent and hostile. They're not to be ignorant of their call for self-defense. This is not the same thing as resisting someone who is persecuting them because of their faith. In fact, Jesus himself is going to lay down his life for the sake of his bride in order to protect his bride. So to put that into today's context, when we look around us and we see violence that is spreading on the streets, we see anarchy and looters. Is it a biblical principle for Christians to have a mind for self-defense, individually and even as a church? Should we take wise, shrewd precautions so that we are not recklessly throwing our lives into the hands of those who would seek to oppose us? We don't need to take unnecessary danger or to invite others to harm us. Scripture says, defend the fatherless and the widows. Jesus coming and leaving his disciples into this world is going to bring friction. So when we are called to be wise stewards of the blessings God has given to us, locking our doors and other manners of self-defense, when we as Christians pursue these, it is not contrary to our faith. Rather, it is prudent. There is a time and a place for us to engage in these things on this side of glory. Even as Exodus 22 illustrates that when a thief breaks into your home at night and the thief is killed as you're defending yourself, that defender is innocent and not guilty of bloodshed. That's Exodus 22. So even already in the Old Testament, we find that the Old Testament law identifies the need to protect yourself. So although we pray and we trust and we depend on God to provide for us and to protect us, we can still use the God-given means that he gives us, knowing that even these means and the wisdom to use them are gifts from God's hand. Yes, we are to love our enemies, but we're also to provide for and protect our loved ones and the lives of those whom God has placed in our path. So as a church and individuals, we should be thinking of how we can seek a safety as well. Now, there's one more aspect to consider here very briefly. As Jesus has told his disciples to go out and buy a sword, Jesus says in verse 37, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching fulfillment. What is the connection between that verse and the commandment to go take your bag of money and go get a sword? Well, we have to remember in here, teaching about the sword, we're going to find something later on in this chapter when a sword is used wrongly. In verse 50, we find Peter takes one of these two swords and he seeks to defend, to protect Jesus, to stop Jesus from pursuing the path that Christ had come to perform. So Peter takes out this sword, and is Jesus going to be pleased with the use of the sword in order to stop Jesus from being arrested and being brought to the cross? No. Jesus is going to, in fact, rebuke Peter for trying to stand in the way of his own suffering and death. Jesus says the scriptures must be fulfilled, and Jesus will have none of this resisting God's plan for his life. Jesus needs to fulfill the scriptures. He needs to lay down his life for the sake of his bride to protect us and to save us from our sins. So Jesus would not want this violent crowd, because the cross is an integral part of why he came. And that's the good news of our passage. And that's the take home. That's the joy that we get here, is that Jesus will not resist even when this crowd comes out against him with swords and clubs. Jesus could at any moment, this is Matthew 26, at any moment call down a host, legion upon legion of angels to defend, to protect Jesus if that was his desire. But Jesus submitted himself and he laid his life into the hands of his enemies so that the scriptures might be fulfilled and God's people would be saved. To conclude, understanding how God calls us to work so that we might be provided for, to save for our future, and to be prepared for events in this life, it calls for wisdom, lest we be considered worse than an unbeliever. That's 1 Timothy 5. Added to this, the calling to protect our own lives, to defend our own lives, and to protect the lives of others, is how we as Reformed Christians have always applied the sixth commandment. Read Lord's Day 40. That's how we apply that, protecting and defending your life and the lives of others. As our theme states, Jesus tells his disciples to be prepared for the coming expansion within a hostile world. Although Jesus would not need a money bag and he would not use the sword at this point in his life, we are, as Christians, are called to live in this world, not of it, but in this world, and to use the means God has given to us for provision and protection. So let us be prepared, ready to live with shrewd wisdom as we plan and prepare not only for this life, but also for the life to come. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this text, which brings before us a topic, a theme, a subject which we don't often discuss or think about. We do thank you, Lord, for the protection and provision that you have given to us in Jesus Christ, that our spiritual needs are completely provided for, that our souls are defended from sin and hell and Satan, and even death will not touch us because we find refuge under your almighty wing. Yet we thank you, Lord, for this verse, these verses which remind us of the calling that we have to live in this world, to be shrewd and wise as we seek to use the blessings and benefits and gifts and wisdom that you have given to us, as we seek to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, continuing to trust in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.